Welcome to the Thursday show, in which we preview Charlotte Flair's Hall of Famer mystery opponent for SummerSlam 2019. And the question, is Kofi Kingston worthy of the WWE Heavyweight Championship? Next on the Thursday show. First, we have a pre-taped video in which Shane McMahon would declare that he would not be present at this week's SmackDown Live. We have Kevin Owens celebrating with a huge promo in ring. McIntyre then interrupts. We get a brawl. We get a stunner on the table. Pretty damn good match to follow. Owens goes over on McIntyre. This is very much an anti-hero angle that is clearly working. I can't wait to see what's next for KO. We then have Alexa Bliss teaming with Nikki Cross versus a weary SmackDown Live Women's Champion Bayley teaming with Ember Moon. We get a backstage segment, a warning from Bayley that she's watching out for Ember Moon's cheap shot, a precursor to the miscommunication the two would have in tonight's match. Bliss knocks Moon into a steel post, hits the Twisted Bliss for the clean 1-2-3. Bliss and Cross go over on Bayley and Moon. Bayley then hits a Bayley to belly out of frustration. I think what momentum Ember Moon had going into this match and in weeks past is slowly erasing here. I really think that they're kind of desperate to put Bayley over and make her look strong as a strong babyface. And I really feel like Bayley is at this point where she's a babyface champion on the second show, and she hasn't had that fourth wall break, that brass ring, and clearly, you know, she has become champion, but maybe a paper champion, maybe a champion that the crowd isn't completely sold after. She's strong, she's very popular with the kids, with the younger generation of WWE Universe. Casual fans as well seem to really, really love her. She sells enough merchandise, but to those enthusiasts, to those that are paying attention, do we really believe Bayley to be this strong women's champion? A true badass. I think she still needs that Becky Lynch moment. You know, that moment that's not scripted. That moment that just, she makes gold out of something that wasn't supposed to happen. We're still waiting for that moment, and we're paying attention. Next, we have a special King's Court with Jerry the King Lawler returning, in which his guest at this time is Canada's own Trish Stratus. Teaser here is King mentioning that legends often need that one last match. Before the segment with Stratus would move forward, we have Miss Charlotte Flair coming out to the ring. Some words were exchanged, a back and forth on who really is the best of all eras. Flair would challenge, in short, Stratus would accept for SummerSlam 2019. This match has been rumored for about a week or two. I'm very excited. Fans, as you know, I'm a huge Charlotte Flair fan. Multi-time Raw and Women's Champion. The true successor to Ric Flair. She's got it all. And it did seem a bit odd in weeks past that she didn't necessarily have a job for SummerSlam. She didn't have a worker. But we get the ultimate worker in Trish Stratus. One of the absolute best of all time women's champions. My only hope is that what Charlotte Flair said was not true. Charlotte Flair simply doesn't feel that Trish Stratus can hang with Flair. I want her to be proven wrong. I want Trish Stratus to go out there and hang and give it her 110%. I definitely understand that it was a different era then, and there was different expectations. The whole landscape was completely different in the Attitude Era, comparatively speaking to now. Trish Stratus is by no means a full-timer. She's a Hall of Famer. So we'll see what kind of match quality is heading our way for SummerSlam. We then have a Ben Fowler challenging Dolph Ziggler in a return for Dolph's actions last Monday at the reunion show. We would get a Bray Wyatt Titantron interruption in this match. Super kick from Ziggler out of nowhere for the 1-2-3. This just continues Bray Wyatt looking very strong going into SummerSlam. I really feel like Dolph Ziggler is being utilized as a utility between both. And up until now, didn't necessarily have a specific opponent. It could have very well been Miz. But no continuation of that storyline. We simply get Ziggler going over on Finn Balor. And we get another appearance from Wyatt via the Titantron. Enough said. Next we have Ali versus Nakamura in a return from from the Smackville event. A roll-up would prove to be an upset as Ali goes over for the quick win. Looks like WWE is putting a lot of stake, a lot of equity into this kid. He got his opportunity removed for elimination chamber, in which injury would occur. He's coming back with a vengeance and a chip on his shoulder to cement a proving ground. I really feel like Ali does have it all. I don't necessarily believe him 100%. I was never sold or high on the baby faces of the company. However, Ali and Nakamura could very well be a SummerSlam match as the third and final winner takes all. And he could very well become your next Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. Next, we have a very nice sit-down pre-taped interview with the Viper, Randy Orton. He's taking us back to his history with the World Heavyweight Champion building from the 2009 rivalry. I really truly feel like Randy Orton has done what he's done in his career because not only was he a naturally gifted and talented in-ring performer, but great on the microphone as well. And this has carried him to be a multi-time World's Heavyweight Champion. The sit-down interview was no different. Randy Orton said what he needed to say. He painted the picture. He kept it simple. And I really do feel, and I understand where they're going with this. Kofi Kingston has to solidify, you know, his confidence, his validity. And I understand where they're going. We have to position Kofi with all the right people to make him look as strong as possible. I totally get it. And the I feel like the young generation of the WWE Universe has definitely bought in. They want to see Kofi succeed. They feel like his 11-year run is proven. However, there's a lot of truth to what Randy Orton is saying. Randy Orton specifically is saying that, you know, you can't hang with the big guys. For lack of a better term, you're a mid-card guy. You're a workhorse. I kind of have to agree with Randy Orton. I'm not completely sold on Kofi Kingston as your World's Heavyweight Champion. He went through a gauntlet. His New Day fought for him. He had a great match with Daniel Bryan. His body language, his mic work, his believability could improve. When Daniel Bryan was WWE Heavyweight Champion, I believed Daniel Bryan was a true champion because he knows correct body language. He knows how to cut a promo on the microphone as a precursor to whatever event, whether it be the next weekly event, a live event, or a pay-per-view. After 11 years of Kofi being in the company, he could still use some improvement in that area. We then have our main event of the evening as the New Day take on the OC in Anderson, Gallows, and Styles. This is a damn good six-man, as we have the Raw Heavyweight Tag Team Champions and the United States Heavyweight Champion teaming to face SmackDown Live's Strongest in their Tag Champions, and Kofi Kingston being the World's Heavyweight Champion. Great match between all these guys. I really do want to see maybe a future conversation between these gentlemen. After this match, keep them apart. Keep them separate. Don't have them meet ever again for a very long time, because this is great potential for a great angle. It really is. Kingston would go over on Styles with an Interrupt Trouble in Paradise for the 1-2-3. It's a very strong finish here, solidifying even more equity into Kofi Kingston heading into SummerSlam. I think the match did what it needed to do. Gallows and Anderson look like they have a little bit more stake with WWE. The New Day are one of the best tag teams of all time, as they've proven to be multi-time World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. And they've proven that they can work any style with literally any tag team. You have a lot of talent here. It only took five other men to put Kofi over. The match did what it needed to do: make Kofi look strong. Kofi was positioned for this spotlight. He delivered what he needed to get in, which was that Interrupt Trouble in Paradise from Styles' springboard. I definitely understand where they're going. I'll watch the match at SummerSlam. I'll watch it. I'll analyze it. I'll do match analysis. But as far as Kofi Kingston being a valid champion, we'll see. Finally, we get a segment seeing Roman Reigns heading out for a quick interview backstage. Suddenly, pieces of the backstage area, pieces of maybe like a Titantron or whatever have you. It was a big metal object. Something that could hurt you if it fell on you. Nearly misses Roman Reigns. He escapes this. We don't necessarily get the correct camera angle to see if this was somebody that pushed it over to harm him, or if it was simply just the stage falling and that wasn't planned. And then they, you know, tried to roll with it when this was a live segment. This was a bit of an odd segment. It looked deliberate because they simply just faded to black with the lower third wrapping up SmackDown Live for the night. It was just so weird how they delivered it. It didn't seem like there was anybody there, but WWE is telling us that there is somebody there, or there was somebody. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this. Very strange. The only thing that I can think of is Daniel Bryan. If we get a return from, what was it, 2012? 2013? Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, when Reigns is now legitimately over, dropping his tough guy persona, taking on himself, turned up 10 notches. And we get a heel Daniel Bryan that is very over with our crowd. The 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, the late 20-somethings. This match could be one of the best SummerSlam matches of all time. Why? Roman Reigns proves with every big fight at every pay-per-view event that he can work with the best of them. He puts on big matches. He has a big match feel. And they call him the big dog, and it's valid. I am not the biggest Roman Reigns fan, okay? His style is not something that gets me excited, something that, you know, makes me tune in. But some wrestling fans, in fact, most wrestling fans, love brawling. They love that smash mouth, hard nose, you know, Superman punches and spears and drive-bys. You know, just the basic things that Roman Reigns does. People love it. People love that real fight feel, that big fight feel. Me, I grew up with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. I grew up with Benoit and Malenko and Guerrero, where we have technical, scientific wrestling. Daniel Bryan has adopted this kind of style. I'm more interested in the Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns contest for Daniel Bryan, just because I like the technical, scientific breakdown of the human anatomy. That is much more interesting to me than 7 Superman punches. So we'll see. I'm very excited about the match if they're going in that direction. Again, we don't know. I think it was supposed to be a teaser or a cliffhanger or a hook. We got, instead, just confusion. SmackDown Live did everything it needed to do in this week's build. If you enjoyed our impressions and analysis and would like to contribute to the conversation, please follow, share, and subscribe to This Week in Wrestling on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many more wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, the final build to SummerSlam 2019. Of course, you'll get our impressions, news, information, and analysis. You can find me at Mega Arcade on all social media platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. Please follow and subscribe to This Week in Wrestling. And you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/TheLegitNinja. We'll be posting podcast videos as well as other content. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week on This Week in Wrestling.